Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms. Long, slim, slimy ones. Short, fat, juicy ones. Itsy, bitsy, fuzzy, wuzzy worms. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms. A camp song that I've known. I don't know when I learned it. I've no idea. I've known that practically my entire life. It could have been Elijah's theme song. Sitting under his broom tree, feeling sorry for himself. I hope you can kind of sense the despair that he is feeling. I have had enough. I've had enough. Take my life if you want, but just let me be. Essentially, Elijah the prophet is quitting. He has asked God for a resignation. I'm not doing this anymore. Elijah feels that God has somehow abandoned him. And Elijah's certainly not the only prophet of God, certainly not the only chosen prophet of God to have felt this way. Moses protested that leading Israel was too much for him. Jonah felt as if God had left him twisting in the wind when God let the Ninevites off the hook. Jeremiah complained bitterly about having no say in his career choices, for after being called as the prophet of the Lord God, there's no out. As Elijah says, there's only death. Bring it on. From Elijah's perspective, things aren't fair. It's not fair. And it really isn't fair. They're not going the way that he thought that they ought to go. Elijah has been twisted by sin. Things are not going the way he thinks they ought to go. Because this is what sin does. Sin twists people. It twists us in upon ourselves. This is why sexual identity has become so important in this current age. People are replacing God with sexual identity. That is the most important thing. That is what rules everything in one's life. It's a twisting of the good gift that God has given us in having a sexual life. Sin takes that, twists it, turns it into something that it wasn't, and sets it aside for personal joy. Elijah has been eyewitness to God's faithfulness and God's power. He's just taken part in the great prophet off, as you might say it. Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal. He says, "Let bulls be given unto us, and we'll cut them into pieces and lay them on the wood, but put no fire to it. And then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of my God, the God of heaven and earth. And whichever God answers by fire is indeed God." Three times Elijah drenched his offering in water while they danced and slashed their wrists and yelled and screamed and beat drums. Nothing happened to their sacrifice. At the command and the prayer of Elijah, fire from heaven consumed the rocks and the sticks and the wood and the water and the bull, and 1,000 prophets of Baal were put to the sword. But at the first angry word from Israel's pagan queen Jezebel, Elijah turns tail and runs. Twice Elijah whines unto God, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars. They've put your prophet to the sword. And I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me." Twice he cries this. Elijah has turned in on himself. And it's sin that has caused this turn. He has shut God out. He's fallen into a deep despair. Martin Luther described this action with the Latin phrase, "incurvatus in si," sin separates. It does. Sin separates. It separates us from one another. It separates us in our families. It separates us from God. Sin has turned us away from God, away from the things that are good, that are pleasant, that are desirous, the good things that have come from God. It's something reminiscent to a Buddhist just sort of studying his navel. And we get inwardly focused. It's all about me. Fully concentrating on yourselves, you can see the weakness of that. Fully concentrating on yourselves, you're going to see your inability to provide for yourself. You're going to see the vulnerability that you have in this world. You're going to see your inability even to protect yourself, your inability to save yourself. When confronted with what and who we really seem to be, it's no wonder that we fall into despair. It's easy to just mentally, socially, professionally, even spiritually, just curl up into a little ball and lose sight of all the things that God has done for us, to lose sight of all the people around us who love us, who are there for us, to lose sight of all that God has already done. To paraphrase Luther, he says, our old nature takes the finest gifts of God for itself and then enjoys them selfishly. Our old nature is perverse. It is depraved. Our old nature doesn't seek God in order to love God. It doesn't seek God in order to love our neighbors as ourselves either, but to get something out of him, to get something out of them. Our hearts get curved and twisted in upon themselves. And everything becomes about me. We are Elijah. I know we've not been personally called to be the great prophets of old, to demonstrate incredible power. But we can easily find ourselves setting under our own broom trees. Forgetting all the wonderful things that God has already done for us, it's easy to be curved in upon ourselves, to meditate upon our navels and think, man, it's not fair. It's not always been like this. It's easy to get stuck in our sin and find ourselves looking to ourselves for value, to looking to ourselves for hope, to looking to ourselves for power, to looking to ourselves for strength, to look to ourselves for goodness, to look to ourselves for value. And lo and behold, the deeper we go into ourselves, guess what we find? Less and less and less, and the despair gets worse and worse and worse. Sulking and whining, everybody hates me. Think I'll go eat worms. Go have sex with some random person. Maybe they can add a little value to my life. After all, they do want me, right? For a time. You ever felt like Elijah? I know I do. It's like a pervasive weight upon our society. To work so hard, to give so much, and nobody seems to notice, and nobody seems to care. Not even God. We're left with this vague wallow of self-pity and doubt. We may be the most self-pitying society the world has ever seen. We have perfected victimhood into an art. Sniveling and whining and looking around for help. That's what sin does. That's what sin does. It tightens us up. It tightens us up into a tiny little ball where all we can pay attention to is that which is right in front of us. And nothing else matters. We don't care about anybody else. Robert Frost wrote, I turned to speak to God about the world's despair, but to make matters worse, I found God wasn't there. Poor guy. It's not that God is distant. It's not that God is non-existent. It's It's just we have this great tendency to look in places where God's not there. And we look places where God's not there, and then we head off to the nearest broom tree, hiding and whining and complaining. Some people turn into workaholics, the ultimate expression of self-centeredness. Other people turn to activism. They think, you know what, the world's rotten, it's awful, so we're going to make it into a better place. We're going to turn this world into a utopian society, whether you like it or not. We will force you to comply. Others turn to politics. Remember the good old days. Y'all remember the good old days, right? You remember the good, I don't remember the good old days. I came of age in the 80s. I don't know if you'd call those the good old days. They're only the good old days because they're past, right? The wounds have healed. We forgot how bad it was back then. Others turn to sexual identity, hoping that will solve something. Other people use power trips, self-help books, incense, crystals. Those two are all the wrong broom trees. If any time you feel disposed to say, that's it, that's enough, that you can bear the burden of life no longer, I would implore you to do as Elijah did. Flee! Right? Flee! Run away from the sin and the despair and the disgustingness of this world. Put your problems behind you. Put your own solutions behind you. Flee to the silence and the solitude and just sit. But don't use a broom tree. Don't go sit underneath your palmetto tree or your live oak. I would encourage you to find yourselves unto a different tree. I would encourage you to find yourselves in silence and solitude and find your way unto the tree of life. Find your way to the tree of Christ and sit under there where the incarnate Son of God was sacrificed for you and for your sins, who offers you everything that you need for this body and life. God in Christ Jesus turns believers away from themselves and unto Him. For Elijah sent an angel to provide not one but two plates of food to strengthen him for the journey. God would not allow Elijah to go and eat worms. He's not going to allow him to stay in his own little world. I'm not going to take your quitting, Elijah. I'm not going to take your resignation. Get up. You have work to do. Elijah only thought he was alone. Elijah only thought he was alone. He was wrong. He was wrong. He looked at the world and saw the way it was, and he was wrong about the way it was. He didn't see all of the things that God was doing. In verse 18 of 1 Kings, God told him he was mistaken. For God had reserved for himself 7,000 Israelites who had not worshipped the Baals. God did not abandon Elijah. God turned Elijah's attention from himself and back towards God. You are not alone. God will not leave you alone. God will turn you from yourself and turn you back out into the world and send you into the world. He does that by providing just how focused he is on us, by proving just how focused the Lord God is on us. And he sent his son as proof of that focus. God has not, God did not, God will not, He is going to never abandon you. You are never alone. In the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, sin's power over us was destroyed, and in that we've been freed. Freed to love God, to love our neighbors as ourselves, free from the sin that keeps us bound, free from the sin that keeps us turned in upon ourselves. God Himself is present for us every single day. And He goes farther. He has placed us, His chosen ones, into a community of believers that we may build one another up by faith. He has provided for us brothers and sisters in faith of whom we can turn to in love and charity. We see that comfort when we feel the weakness, when we feel depressed, when we feel despairing. He has opened our eyes to see the work of our neighbors around us. His words, His sacraments given to us on a daily basis. We're fed and nourished for the journey as well. Christ is the very bread of life. Christ is the very word of God, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. God speaks to us, get up. Get up. The journey is much too hard for you. It's true. It is hard. And it is too hard for you. And it is too hard for you to go it alone. God has not allowed you to go it alone. He does not call you to go it alone. He does not want you to go it alone. Y'all remember Jesse Ventura? He was a wrestler turned politician and became the governor of Minnesota. Woohoo, right? The governor of Minnesota. He was noted at a time during the 90s. He was quoted in a magazine. He was quoted as saying that Christianity was for the weak. Now, I remember that coming out. First of all, I remember that it was in a magazine that Christians aren't supposed to be listening to or watching or looking at. And when people are like, I didn't read the articles, I guess. I was like, I don't even know how we found out about this quote. Pardon. I was like, how did we even find out? People were angry. Man, they were mad. I thought that was the first wise thing Jesse Ventura had ever said in his entire life. Christianity is for the weak. It is for the weak. Because if you can go it alone, you don't need the Son of God. If you can go it alone, you don't need a church. If you can go it alone, you don't need a prayer. You don't need a song. You don't need a word from anybody. You just go it alone and just do it yourself. The weak need doctors. We need healing. And we need to be fed. Because life's too hard. Life is much too hard. To quote the deaconess, by the way, people suck. You notice that? You know, people are awful. They're awful. It's too hard for you. It's too hard for me. And guess what? It was too hard for Elijah, too. It was too hard for Moses. It was too hard for David. It was too hard for Daniel. Rely upon the power that they relied upon. Go to the God that they went to. This is why we don't go it alone. We can't. And we're not going to. Because God provides the strength that we need. God provides the food that we need. God provides the bread of life that we need. Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give him for the bread for the life of the world is my flesh. If God himself be for me, who can stand against us? And God is for us. In Jesus' name we pray.